You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
And we get to go around the world again.
We need like special music for traveling around the world.
We do. We need a lot of special music for all of our special things.
We need music that really indicates that we're traveling.
Right?
Except for I'm sitting in a chair. I'm not really traveling.
Yeah. The world comes to us.
Oh, that's right. That was our theme before.
Yeah.
The world comes to us.
So today, this morning is Africa. Africa's a big place, too.
Yes. Very, yeah. I'm drawing pictures
right,
in the air. That's so helpful for
everybody
our audience.
Everybody can see you.
The camera's not on today.
That's good. Joining us in the studio, we have Joyce Erber, who is the regional business manager for the Africa region for the LCMS. And it's a joy to have you in the studio, Joyce.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for this opportunity.
Absolutely. You have quite an extensive history of being on the mission field, don't you?
Yes, my husband and I, we first arrived in Nigeria in January 1987.
Wow.
We served in Nigeria for 25 years, and then we've transferred over to Ghana, where we've been serving since 2012. So almost 6 years in Ghana now.
What was, so since you shared some of the history here, let's back up and look at some of this history. What was the focus of your work in Nigeria for 25 years? Wow.
Yeah, that's a long time.
We were in three different roles. And my time in Nigeria, I was mom and wife was my role, but my husband's role. And I would say we sort of saw ourselves as a team. So even though my husband was the called worker, the employee, we sort of did this as a family. Our first role was living in a rural village with a people group, the Boki people. We stayed in that village for 14 years. And my husband's role was to train lay preachers and church planting. In Nigeria, they had more churches than they had pastors. And that's an awful problem to have. And so they had to use what they called lay preachers or local pastors because they didn't have enough pastors. And usually they were under the supervision of another pastor. So we did that for 14 years. Then they asked them to come down to the seminary where they were working with several language groups, actually working with pastoral training there at the seminary. We did that for 5 years. And then they asked him to be an administrator working with different countries in English-speaking West Africa. They were former British colonies. That's why they're English-speaking. There's also French-speaking. They were French colonies. But we worked, David works with the English-speaking countries for until we left in 2012. And now he's been working in Ghana, working with the pastors there, enabling them to be better pastors as they work with their congregation, especially as they teach God's word.
And perhaps an overlooked part of the mission is some of those behind the scenes things that have to take place in order for the mission to happen and to be successful and to operate in function in a meaningful way. What is the work of the regional business manager?
The role of the business manager has changed a lot. Used to be that the business manager dealt with logistics as far as how to taking care of bank accounts and money and even food items, housing. Now that we still kind of deal with that for each missionary, but more because of the digital age and the internet, I can sort of work out of my home. We do have offices, different places, but it's all through the internet. And I do mostly the record keeping, but I do facilitate wire transfers for purchases of vehicles for the missionaries, rent payments, and also work with the projects, Africa projects, working with different partner churches. We have an area director both in West Africa, another one for East Africa. They work with the partner relationships. But then I facilitate or implement a lot of the decisions that are made within the strategies for each of those countries as far as the finances are concerned and record keeping is concerned. So I work both with the missionaries, enabling them to be serving in their each of the roles, but I also help with our partner relationships in each of these countries and the strategies we're trying to implement in each of these countries.
That's a lot of behind the scenes work, a lot of really important work too.
Well, I've learned a lot about Africa since we were just in Nigeria and Ghana. now I see, I get a bigger, broader view of all of Africa. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do nothing about East Africa. I've gained a much bigger appreciation for other countries in Africa and just how diverse Africa is. When I go over to East Africa, it seems like a whole different world. Even though they're Africans, they're very different over there. But even within West Africa, they can be quite different. Each country is quite unique.
Absolutely. And that's just fascinating. How much of the culture you have to be able to understand in order to do the work that you do.
It's like being from Detroit or like the UP, right?
Yeah. Same state, but very different culture.
And that's true. Even when we came from Nigeria to Ghana, we thought we were just being in West Africa. We thought we could understand them. But there's so many differences, even in the language. English, mm-hmm. Meanings of words have gotten us confused and made mistakes because we thought we understood and we didn't. So, yes, there's a lot of cultural differences between these places in Africa that we have to make those adaptations for, definitely.
Sure. And you've been there for such a long time. How has it changed living
since
in Africa?
The 80s, yeah. Since,
yeah, I won't tell you if I was born yet. living in Africa in the 80s to living there now, I'm guessing that there's been a lot of changes, not only in the culture, but also in the way that you work.
I think that one of the biggest things that's taken Africa by storm is the cell phone. What's amazing is you go to places that still don't have indoor plumbing or mm-hmm. electricity. Everyone has a cell phone mm-hmm. and putting cell towers everywhere. And Africans are such social people that the cell phone just makes sense to them in their culture. And it's changed people's lives as far as connecting with family. If they're living in the city, they can talk to their family in the village. Security. There's so many situations where a village can catch a thief or somebody quite quickly because they're all texting each other. And so it's been great for security. And I do think that the overall standard of living has changed, but there's been a great migration to the cities. It's got become more urbanized. We always think of Africa as being the little mud hut, but more and more people are coming to the cities. A great huge population growth that in the next 20-25 years we're going to see greatest amount of population growth is going to be in Africa.
Hmm. You really opened a door there talking about cell phone usage. I'm curious how it is like phone usage here in the U.S. and how it's different. You mentioned, Africans being very social people, and so that it's a benefit to them, and it's a tool that's used to support them in that. Is it, much like here in the U.S. where we're using apps, and while it may be social, it also can be very isolating. It's not uncommon to walk down the street and see four or five other people who are looking at their phones in their hands rather than looking at the people around them or even paying attention to the fact that they're about ready to step into the street instead of on the sidewalk. Is it like that here, or are Americans very different about how we use phones?
No, I think that there is something about the cell phone that has started to carry over into these cultures too. What you're describing, I've mm-hmm. seen that also. They love, each country sort of has their own kind of like whatever this app, WhatsApp, mm-hmm. there's different versions of that. And it seems like every African country sort of settles on one in particular, mm-hmm. but that's what everybody in that country uses. And so there is a great deal of communication going on like that. But I am afraid that what you're describing is going on there, too. What's interesting to me is that you're not on a phone plan. You buy these scratch cards and scratch off your number and load your credit that way. Or if you don't have any credit, you call someone and of course, it doesn't go through because you don't have any credit. But then they know that you're trying to call them and they'll call you back. And so there's some things like that where if you have a missed call, it usually means the other person didn't have credit and they're hoping you'll be willing to call them. And so it's just a little bit different how it's funded and how mm-hmm. relationships work with getting credit. Because you just can't assume somebody's on a plan and they just have all loads of credit to work with.
That's like back in the day when you had to make sure you had enough minutes.
Right.
You call and you hang up so that the other person calls you back so you don't have to use your minutes.
It's amazing how technology shapes our lives, our cultures, and our relationships even. Yeah. How have, in the years that you've been in the field as missionaries, how have you seen, I guess, have you seen some of the fruits, some of the success of the mission work that's been going on in the parts of Africa where you've been, in Nigeria, now in Ghana?
Well, certainly maturity of pastors, and this is always an ongoing struggle. Sometimes we've had some heartbreaks where you worked with somebody for a long time and they've disappointed you. We do have that. We try to focus more on the men that we are proud of and have been exemplary examples and have really responded to the teaching that my husband has done with them. Specifically thinking in Ghana about a man we talk about, his name is Tito, that when he was a small boy, the local soothsayer came to his village and talked to his parents and said, "Your boy Tito, he's really special. In fact, he's going to be the next soothsayer here." And of course, mom and dad were really excited and happy because this meant that Tito would have an income, that when they got to be old, Tito would be able to take care of them. And so they started him on this apprenticeship to be a soothsayer. This is the soothsayer. There's other terms for him, like a fortune teller. He's the one that interacts with the spirits that live in the trees and the rocks that kind of protect and people have to interact with to cope with life. And so the soothsayer in the community had a very important role because they couldn't connect with these spiritual powers themselves. They worked through the soothsayer. And they didn't think of this as a bad thing. They thought this is how it worked. Had no idea until one day a boy came back to the village whose parents had been able to send him to school in another place. And he was about Tito's age, and Tito connected with him and just asked him, "You know, what's school like? What do you do there? What are you learning?" And this boy told him about things he was learning. And he said, "You know, we've been learning about Jesus." And so he began to tell Tito about Jesus. And then Tito would come back to him and say, "You know, you've been thinking about what you told me about Jesus." He'd ask him more questions. The boy would tell him more things. And so Tito began to ask and want to know more about Jesus. And the more he learned, the more he knew he didn't want to be a soothsayer. And it was a pretty dramatic thing for Tito to finally get to the point where he told everybody, "I'm done with this apprenticeship. I'm not going to be a soothsayer." And it caused a great upset with his parents, with the village. And just to demonstrate he was serious, he broke the sticks he was using to divine the future, to interact with the spirits. He broke them and he threw them in the fire to just destroy all of that. And to make a long story short, is that Tito is now a Lutheran pastor in Ghana. Wow.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. And he's had such an influence on everybody around him in that part of Ghana, working with other pastors. He's a pastor among pastors now. And his story and his courage, you know, because usually you're working those kind of spiritual powers, people are so fearful. That's what happens. People are very fearful. So, he is an exemplary example for us in Ghana.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Huh. Can't top that.
No, you can't. No,
I guess we're done.
We have to end there. We're all out of time.
We are. Joyce, it's been a real pleasure having you in studio. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for asking me.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.